The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I guess I'll take it, Pete. Welcome back, guys. Another episode of Bachelors in the City. This is a very special episode. As you know, we talk shit on our Bachelor breakdowns. We have also some other things that we're going to talk about as well. Welcome back, Pete. Pete's been gone for quite a while now. It's been all over the world.
I have been. I feel like I've been going nonstop. Yeah, let's see here. I was doing a bunch of flying, just kind of around the country for work, then had some days off, headed down to Miami for Art Basel. What a time that was.
Welcome to Miami.
Guys, I love Miami. You know, it's funny. I lived in Boca, which is just north of Miami. Third grade to seventh grade. So got a little taste of Miami, but you know, it was a lot younger. Miami is a great city. Absolutely love it. And it was cool to spend time there with some people that you guys may know.
Did you get any tea for us?
Did I get some tea? Did I actually, I did get some tea that I can definitely not spill. But I had a good time. It was great to appreciate the art. We had a blast. Since then, went down to the Dominican. It's funny. I went there. That was for work. But we talked about it, right, Dustin, on the pod, Embassy Social?
Yeah.
Our crew is back down there for trip number two. And I was bummed. I guess we were both bummed. We couldn't make it. But it was a tease for me because they literally were staying in Punta Cana. Or they're still there. And of course, where do I get sent on my trip? Punta Cana. But it's just too short of a layover to go connect. And guess what? I'm going back there again tonight. Now it's Central Dominican. I haven't been to this airport yet. But anyways, good to be back with you guys and recording another episode.
I'm glad you're just off to all these tropical areas where I'm just taking care of the dogs, making sure the house is clean.
Hey, house is clean. I come back to full sink full of dishes that have to look like they haven't been touched.
I cooked last night.
Yeah, no, I can tell. I can definitely tell. Was it good?
Oh, this guy. It was really good. All right, let's get...
I'm excited. I know. End it on a good note there, okay? I'm excited to do some... roommate Christmas tree decorating because we haven't gotten to that yet. So
we haven't got to that. We need
that,
to get
that. I'm looking forward to.
We need to get stockings, all that good stuff. But yeah, I guess going into the Bachelor Nation, we have some batch alumni that have been hanging out quite a bit. We have the, well, Emma's here. How would you pronounce this?
Zaysha.
It's the Zaysha breakup.
What? Where does
Zaysha,
there's no
like
D in
Zach
that?
Exactly. Zaysha, it's their couple.
You pronounce things, man, weirder than anyone else I've ever met. You just create letters that don't exist in that word.
That's the new Gen Z stuff. We also have the Mentel All.
No, it's just Zaysha. Okay.
We also have the Mentel All. And then also, you know, what's next for Michelle? But most important, I don't know about most importantly, but I'm really ready to fry this next season. What do we think about the trailer of Clayton's season?
Guys, I saw this. I saw this. And woo! You got to give props where props are due. Stellar job. I got thoughts. Not going to lie, I've got thoughts because I know exactly what they're doing to poor Clayton. Been there, done that. But I have thoughts. But man, it works. It works. I'm telling you, this season's going to be... It's going to be a ratings boost.
I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know. A lot of people were really upset about how we already knew that Clayton wasn't going to go, like, be in the top three for Michelle's season because he has already been announced as The Bachelor. And then in the trailer, they showed us who the top three women were.
I know. That's what I was thinking. It was, like, so stupid. Why are you guys...
So now I know who's going to be the top three.
That messes up little thing we do.
It works though. And it kind of reminded me. So I remember from my season, they did this, you know, with my mom, right? They had a clip, they foreshadow, they show, mm-hmm. and it was a clip with me and Chris right at the end. And I think they're reusing that technique because it keeps people, it works. It keeps people intrigued. A shit ton of drama is about to go down.
But they didn't show who your top three already.
No, his moment was the bring her home was like the moment that they were foreshadowing. In the same way that for Colton's, it was jumping the fence. And there's always something they tease.
Yeah.
Right. But this one, I think you're right. They haven't teased the amount of, or the actual women or the men like they did with this season. Mm-hmm.
It's been more of like an event, a breakdown, a revelation. Like they showed you, unfortunately, crying at the end several times. And they were like, this is going to be dramatic as hell. And now it's like,
when I had nothing left to give. Oh yeah. I remember those days.
I don't think this season's going to be dramatic. I don't. That's me. I mean, they're talking about him hooking up with two girls towards the end. Doesn't everyone? Everyone
yeah, I don't
hooks
know why they're blowing
suite.
That up.
Like, who gives a shit? Like, why are
what
we making this?
What else is new?
Why are we doing, oh, no way. Like, this has been happening.
It's funny. They go from, I know they go from like Hannah to Katie. And I remember hearing talks and, oh, we love her. She's very sex positive. It's like, all right, the women can go be sex positive, but the men can't. Like, let's go blow. I don't get it. A little hypocritical,
it's
in my
It's a strange
opinion.
Double standard. If we're going to be sex positive, total. We should be all the way across the board. And also, it just feels naive to assume that this is like the first time that two people have gotten laid in the fantasy suites. Like, you sleep
like that
over three nights, they were three people. Yeah, I would say so. It seems...
I know so. Like, it's not even like... I know so. Like, I just he talking knows. To people that have been in that, like, it's a fact. So, I don't know. Anyways, if it's going to be drama... It's going to cause ratings, and the show desperately needs that. So let's get into this batch breakdown.
Batch breakdown brought to you
batch
by
breakdown.
Us. So let's get into
brought
it.
Brought to you by us for now.
For now.
Insert your sponsorship here, random company.
I love it.
So the first thing I wanted to ask you guys about is, have you heard about this new gang of Bachelor Nation alums hanging out in San Diego? They're calling themselves the Controversial Crew.
I guess they forgot one guy out of there.
Who?
You.
Me? Excuse you. I'm just living my life. Let's see here. To be honest, I have not heard. I am reading our notes right now. Katie Thurston, boyfriend John, Anna Redman, Tammy. I know Tammy. Chasen, I met Chasen randomly at a Boston Red Sox. I was on a layover in Boston, went to the, with Gio to the, and Juju to the Red Sox game against the Astros. Ran into Chasen, actually, cool guy. And Chris and Elena.
So Chris and Alana were the, or Elena, or they were the ones from Paradise this summer that got voted off the island, right? When they were like, you guys must have been dating before you came here. How dare you? And then they basically got pushed out.
Like everybody else in the show, yep.
Yeah. So we got them. We got Tammy, who is, I'm not sure, controversial, but...
Yeah, I don't think she's done anything.
No, Tammy likes to stir some shit.
I don't think she's done anything outside of Bachelor Nation, though. During the show, she was in the mix of stuff.
I'd say so. I've seen a lot of her... She does like 24 hours in the life or stuff like that, videos. And girl is hustling. She's working several jobs. She's all over the place. So I
no,
on
she,
the show.
She is a go-getter. She is an absolute go-getter. That was one thing I really respected about Tammy. I mean, I think she literally has like 5-6 jobs, you know. She knows what she wants, and I want to see Tammy find someone. I keep saying I don't know who it is, but like, I don't know if I can picture it yet, but I know she came close in Paradise there, but she's a hustler. Anyways,
maybe Andrew.
Controversy.
Yeah. So people are like, wow, this is all of these people are lightning rods for controversy or conversation within Bachelor Nation. I had you guys watch a couple of the TikToks that Anna Redman had put out. For example, the one where they simulate when someone asks you a question and then you angrily stand up and walk away.
That was pretty funny.
That was really good, especially since they called Tammy out for the, do you even know who Dave Chappelle is versus the
good.
David Spade thing that happened in Paradise.
That was funny. And then, the Katie one was, I related, I'm not going
to
lie.
I know, I was about to say that. I was about to.
Weren't you engaged like last week or something? Yeah, been there, done that too.
Oh man, that's what I was going to say.
That's kind of how the show worked, yeah.
They're the total opposite of like you and Kelly, right?
Honestly, yeah, it's funny, huh? Katie and John are doing the exact same thing. See, I'm not crazy, guys, or we weren't crazy. It happens. It's, you never know with the show. You never know which way things are going to take and pull you. And hey, good for them.
They were at the People's Choice Awards the other night, and they looked really happy together, which I know you can't really perceive a lot about a relationship from the outside, but Katie's been through the ringer this summer. So I'd say if she's happy now, I hope that it was worth it and that I hope that she's genuinely enjoying her life because she's been going through a lot of not enjoyable stuff quite publicly, as you guys understand.
Yeah, at this point, you root for them. You root for Katie that she is just truly happy and just give her a break. You know, it's not an easy thing to do what she did. So
it's like she's not the Bachelorette anymore. And at a certain point, we have to go back to being like, oh, she's a human being with complicated emotions. And the love that she finds, whether it's connected to the show or not, is very much so her own. And I think that that's the same thing for you. People put the title of Bachelor on you for the rest of forever and you're going to be scrutinized for it. But I think at a certain point, it's like, why are we, like, they're not on the show anymore. Why don't you care what the new Bachelor is doing? These people are trying to figure out their own lives.
That's a really good point. And I think it's, I don't know who I was talking to, but it's true. It's like, you get things blown up in, like, I get it, right? You put yourself in that position, you go on a show and it gets blown up. You put yourself in that position, but people blow all these things out of proportion. You know, specifically what Katie, she went from, first of all, she wasn't even married, right? She was engaged. So many people get divorced in this world and we don't blow them up and, you know, go crazy on them, but she was engaged, right? And then now she's dating someone else. You know how many times that happens in the real world with every just day normal human beings?
Yeah.
You know how many people that are probably listening right now have broken up and gotten in a relationship maybe a little too soon in some people's eyes? Like, at some point, you're right. You got to take the spectacles off of, like, you know, she's the Bachelorette. No, she's not anymore. She's a normal person.
Katie,
and probably a very sweet girl, and let her live her life. And, you know, she's not doing anything different than a hell of a lot of people out there.
Well, if we're still doing this show in 10 years and y'all's wives are on here with us, I hope that you guys aren't under the same microscope that you're under now and that at some point, Dustin is Dustin and Peter is Peter.
Wouldn't that be great, Dusty?
Well, I'm just about there. I'm just reaching for it until I get seen with you out and then it's like, fuck. No, I'm joking. It's all fun. It's all good.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one day I do want to just be Dustin, you know, one day, you know, I think, you know, Bachelor Nation's great. I think the fans are great. The show's entertaining.
Once this show does end and leaves the air, how long do you think it'll take for that kind of to happen? And like this to kind of like, has there been another reality show that's kind of had its time, is now off, is gone and kind of fades into irrelevancy?
But nothing's quite like The Bachelor. It's like in its own little category.
Or it's going to be like Survivor and it just goes on forever.
I mean, pretty much.
Forever.
Yeah.
But forever.
Bing bong.
We'll be wearing our In the Pits. We just got, by the way, a huge shout out to Game of Roses. We just got an awesome early Christmas gift, our In the Pit sweaters. And
they're really,
you know,
cool.
We may just be wearing those until we are quite literally in the pit one day.
In the pit. In the pit.
So the Bing Bong TikTok that you referenced, I'll post the TikToks that I showed you guys on our Instagram so people know which ones we're talking about. But there were two in particular, the questions and then the Bing Bong. What are you going to tell Joe Byron?
Hey, yo, take me to dinner. Hey, baby, take me to dinner. Hey, yo. You see these dogs outside, just know I'm going hard. Bing Bong.
I legit feel out of it, or I feel old. I don't know what it is, but I feel like an idiot right now. I heard Bing Bong, Dusty, when we went to the Knicks game, and I thought this was a Knicks thing.
That's how big Bing Bong is right now.
No, it's a TikTok thing.
That's
for
not
sure.
A Knicks thing.
No, that's a TikTok thing that the Knicks were playing because it's a New York. It's a New York.
Oh my God.
Everyone in New York is saying you can't walk down the street without hearing Bing Bong.
Bro, when I was getting a hot dog at the hot dog stand, and the guy, after I give him my credit card, he goes, Bing Bong. I'm like, oh, that must be like a Knicks thing.
I had no idea. That's the new New York thing, baby. Bing Bong.
I'll send you the original TikTok after this call.
Wow.
What do you want to tell Joe Byron right now?
It's a huge trend right now.
Hey, baby, so, take me to dinner. Hey, yo. It's pretty much this guy. He's going like to Coney Island and all these other places. And these people that are just kind of like strung out on the streets are just like characters, funny characters. And they're just, they're characters. The things they say and do, it's entertaining.
I'm gonna start my flights and I'm going to make, ladies and gentlemen, like to welcome aboard Bing Bong.
Do it 100%.
No jokes. I would never do that.
And then we'll low key film it from the cockpit or from the cockpit.
What did you do?
A cockpit, hey, yo. Cockpit.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Okay.
Hey, yo.
All right. Bing bong it is.
The last thing that I wanted to talk about before we dive into the mental all and everything associated with that. Art Basel? Basel?
I heard it's Art Basel, like Art Basel.
Okay. You were there. There were a bunch of Bachelor alums there. What was it like?
What was it like, Peter?
What was it like? So we get down. It was a blast. Again, it really was. Miami is obviously a very special city, but turns even more special, I would say, this weekend. I had a lot of friends down there that were in the art scene, so it was cool to go support them. Michael, actually, I think you guys know, we talked about the painting that he did for us. We have hanging in our apartment. He was down there. Shout out to him. Animos Art sold out all of his paintings. So huge shout out. He's actually, it's sick too. He's going to make... So this whole Art Basel thing too is like a big NFT type convention, which again, don't ask me what it is because I'm still trying to understand why it's valuable or going to be valuable, but it's going to be everyone saying it. So, you know, maybe you don't want to miss out on the opportunity. Anyways, he's going to turn all his art pieces into NFTs, which I think is super cool. So we're going to get one, Dusty.
Is there any way we can get ours that we already have from him into an NFT?
He's going to turn all the paintings he's done. He's going to give all the, you know, his clients and people he's done paintings for the original 101 NFT for that painting as well. So,
I got two NFTs, and the only reason I did because I bought that, what's it called again, Peter? The Oculus thing?
Oculus goggles.
I bought the Oculus goggles for my nephew and I started playing it. And what Mark Zuckerberg is talking about with the metaverse is insane. Like, you put these things on and you literally love it. You're in a whole new world. You're a different person. You're just, it's insane. And after I put those on, I was like, I get NFTs. People are going to be buying NFTs for the metaverse. People are actually buying real estate right now in the metaverse.
I don't like this.
How insane.
People are paying millions for it too, which just kind of like blows my mind. But real quick, guys, I don't like this. I do not. Sure, it's going to make a lot of people a lot of money. I get it. It's innovative. It's the next thing. Guys, just be real. All right. You've already seen the problem with younger generations being tied to, you know, we just kind of missed it. We got into a little bit later where, you know, with cell phones and being all consumed and, you know, really missing out on, you know, being kind of like the last generation to go outside and play with your friends and play in the courtyard and, or not courtyard, in the cul-de-sac, you know, play the, you know, in the diamond with the baseball, like throw footballs. Like, that's going away. And we are going to be like, I could see this turning us into a society where the younger generation just comes up just inside all the time. And like, yeah, the opportunities are endless. I get that. But is that good for us? Is that good for humanity? Like, we're going to lose so many social skills. We're not going to cut up our knees outside and from falling down and learning and eating worms and
peroxide playing on their scratches and crying and all that good stuff and stepping in dog shit, all the good stuff.
Why are we trying to escape life?
Well, you've seen the movie WALL-E, right?
I haven't, Emma.
You haven't seen WALL-E?
No, is that kind of what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So it's a children's cartoon, but it shows what society would look like if we were all living in space. And they have robots do everything for them. They have robot hover chairs and they're all obese. They have no bones. They have nothing because they just live behind a screen and their hover chair goes everywhere.
I will say they do have workout classes on there though.
Yeah, so
I agree. It's just some things in life you can't change, and it's just a way that...
But this life is so beautiful. Why are we trying to escape it and go trade it in for something that's virtual? Why?
I would say...
Why are we doing that?
I told you this. I think our generation is really going to appreciate... We'll go probably dabble in the metaverse and like it, but I think it's going to make us appreciate the time off from it that we have when we go hiking or go to the outdoors and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah, but I'm not worried about it.
I know. It's
I'm
the worried kids about coming up. I
the five-year-olds right now.
And there's nothing to worry. I mean, nothing you could do about it. Like thinking
that,
about
that never take a trip, that never take a trip with their friends to whoever far off Belize. Never know what it's like to go experience a cool trip being disconnected and remote and just connecting with each other.
Off the grid.
They don't know how to do that because all they do is live in the grid. Like this is only tying us into the grid even more. And I'm sorry, I'm not about it.
Yeah, it's just how things are happening, man.
Sad for us.
It's going to be a lot.
Well, buy some NFTs regardless.
That was rabbit hole we just went down.
Wow, we did.
Oh yeah, Art Basel.
Remember when we were talking about Art Basel?
Now we're in the metaverse.
I don't like it.
Actually,
I do not like it.
Let's for future reference. Let's get somebody that knows more about NFTs and metaverse and get them on, and we can have a whole discussion on it.
I would love for someone, a professional, an expert in this, to convince me truly, like I'm open to being convinced of why this is going to help our society and not hurt us in the ways that I just mentioned. I would love to hear it. All ears. If you can explain that to me, I want to hear it. So we really should. We should get someone on that really knows about this space and not just why it's going to make money, why it's going to be the next big thing. I get that. Most likely it is. But I want to hear why this is really going to help us and not hurt
us. I'll say one thing. Think about people that aren't really happy with themselves physically, mentally right now. They could go into this space and feel welcomed and because there's no personal judgment of any sort, you know? So I could see that being one. Like if you're not really happy with yourself and you could go in the metaverse and be this person, your what's it called? Your like
avatar.
Your avatar.
And you can be who you want to be. I could see it for that. Not saying that's good or bad, but I could see people doing that 100% just to come into a place of peace.
I look at that as a crutch. I think that you can be whoever you want to be in real life. This life gives you the opportunity. It's such a beautiful life that we live in the now, in the real. Don't go rely on something fake to be it. Become whoever you want to be, whoever you're proud of, whoever you're comfortable with in real life. You know, I don't know. I look at that as a crutch.
Yeah, but it's easier said. We are very fortunate. We, you know, are in a position we are. Not everyone has the same opportunities to be who they want to be or for their self. A lot of people are just really, their self-esteem isn't too high. And it takes time and a lot of practice to get your self-esteem high with your mental health. And maybe this is like
don't you see that as a slippery slope? That I get that. I see what you're saying. But don't you see that that's only going to make their self-esteem worse in the real world? That actually, like, if people get so invested in this, and sure, maybe now they love who they become in this metaverse and they can't escape it. Now, people are quite literally never going to be leaving the metaverse. It's just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And now they're not going to know how to get out in real life and socialize and be comfortable with who they are in their real skin because they're so used to, you know, being their avatar and however, you know, whatever it looks like, whatever it can do. Like that's a slippery slope. I see what you're saying, but I don't know if that's good long-term for humankind.
Going down, we are at some point, no one's going to leave their house. I could go ahead and tell you that right now.
I mean, AI has always been like a very slippery slope and people have been like, look, we've already gone too far or we need to stop now or else we're going to go too far. But there's really like, it could go the positive way Dustin's talking about or the negative way Peter's talking about. And it's a flip
probably
of a
both.
Coin.
What was the, there was a documentary. It kind of came out during the pandemic about like the demise of like how social media is really hurting us. What was it called?
I know what you're talking about. Again, to politics and like only see what we kind of want to see. And
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name off the top of my head.
Between Democrats and Republicans, and we're not getting the news from either one. That thing.
No. This wasn't like political. This was like just about social media, and like it was like it had followed the story of a guy and how like it had the creators inside of his phone. They were like, all right, hit him with this ad, hit him with that ad, make him do this. The social dilemma.
Yeah, that was it got political.
Oh, okay.
It's always going to root in politics. Everything's rooted in politics.
But there was a person that said that they could see truly a civil war breaking out because of social media in the next 20 years. And at first I was like, no way. Like, that's ridiculous. How could that ever happen? And I don't know.
100%.
This is not helping matters.
Well, no civil war if you guys are in the metaverse. No one gets hurt in the metaverse. All right, guys, we got to do the batch breakdown.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Believe it or not, this is a Bachelor show, and the men tell all happened this week.
Jerry Springer, you mean? Jerry.
It was kind of corny, but it's always kind of corny.
It's getting really corny lately.
You know, I never even watched my woman tell all. These are the one episodes that I've never been into of the show.
Who cares?
It seems so. First of all, it's all these actors they're starting to hire for the stands, and it's so cheesy. Like, we've been seeing this like nonstop. I'm like, this is so stupid, guys. Make it
so
look
you're
real.
Saying that the streaker that they put in the audience this time to run nude in front of Rodney as if to re-expose the and like the emotion he felt when he ran naked around the hotel.
Yeah, That was so stupid. I wonder if they would hire a woman to do that.
I mean, they hired that one woman to make out with Connor B.
That's true.
And say that he was a good kisser.
That was so cringe.
All of it's kind of cringy. I don't know why I think this part, but I want your guys' take. Should Caitlin and Tayshia be wearing the same thing or at least like the same material? I think it would make them look more uniform as hosts. But this is a really just niche thing that's been bothering me all season. How they don't have complementary outfits whenever they come on camera.
No, I kind of like them not wearing the same thing. It kind of just separates them, unifies them. Not unifies them, but it just gives them...
It separates them. It unifies them in the same sentence. Blah, blah, blah.
So what I'm trying to say is I see them being stronger as individuals wearing different things. Besides if they were wearing like Catholic schoolgirl matching alike, you know? Gives them more, it empowers them, I feel like, to wear their own. That's what I think.
Wow, you guys really invest in what they were wearing. Truly wasn't even a thought to me, but hey, I think I'm down. Honestly, I have no opinion on it. I'm indifferent. Didn't all really right. matter.
They look good enough. They were nice outfits. Yeah. They look really, really good.
Can you, Dustin, tell us what it feels like to be sitting up there in the peanut gallery of the contestants who've been eliminated?
Oh, yeah. I guess Peter was never up there. Wow.
I wasn't. Are those chairs uncomfortable?
I mean, they're not. I don't remember, honestly. I don't remember anything.
They don't have any like back. That's the one thing that always stuck out to me. Like, those chairs look really uncomfortable.
I just remember going up there and I was just like, this whole season, in my experience of being up there, I never got caught in the drama because I thought it was so petty. It didn't involve me. And I was quiet. There was no reason for me to get into drama if it didn't concern me. I'm not the type of guy to just go in and just start jumping in head first. Blah, blah, blah. It didn't make sense if it didn't involve me. So coming to the men tell all, I remember they really wanted me to speak, you know, because I think they knew like I was pretty quiet this season, but they wanted people to hear me. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure. I need to let people hear my voice.
I'll find my voice.
But when I was up there, it was just not me. I cannot be a person to jump into shit or argue with people with things I think are stupid or two things that don't involve me. So I was pretty...
I think that's why we get along so well, because I'm the same way, man.
There's no reason. And I was so quiet up there. And yeah, it probably bit me in the ass, you know, not getting, you know, airtime, but who cares? You know, I was true to myself. I wasn't anybody that I'm not. So, but it was... I would say it was interesting just hearing people talk shit at one another. I mean, you have a front row seat in all the action. So that's the good part about it.
So the men tell all was exciting. There were a couple points of controversy that we do end up hitting, especially off the top. We've got the notes situation with Ryan, the creepy guy who had like all of the back files. We have Will versus Peter, which was like the pizza versus the jacket getting thrown in the water. We have Martin, who people were like, hey, he's kind of weird. I don't know if we like him. Chris S., Chris Snake, if you will. And then the shining jewel at the top, Jamie. They go through all of what happened during this season. And ultimately, I don't think we learn anything new from these conversations than the information that was already provided to us from watching The Bachelorette.
I agree. It was just a little bit of a shit show, I'm not gonna lie. I got nothing out of it. The answers I wanted and everything I didn't get. It was just a lot of stupid arguing.
My favorite guy is Ryan guy. Or just like, it's funny. Make it seem like you're super interested in that. Like,
yeah, he was talking about teachers and how teachers, they care. A lot of them take their job very personally and it's more than just a job to them. It's about helping kids and all that. So make sure you seem like you're super interested in that. It's like
even if he didn't, you know, do that, like, why does his friend have to like tell him that's like a note that
is that kind of, yeah, is he an shouldn't actor, have been maybe? On. Is he, I mean, he did do Bachelor. He did already do like the Bachelor Broadway thing. Bachelor's
the
live
show.
So maybe they were like, hey, we might want to plant you to kind of, you know, do some stuff.
Wait, he was the Bachelor?
He did the Bachelor Live. Like, you know, that live show that Becca Kufrin doing? He was on that and he was claiming, oh, I've never seen the show. So I had to have my notes. And he gets confronted by a bunch of the guys at the Men Tell All. And guess what? We don't learn anything new. He doesn't have a good defense. You'd think if after all of these months you knew you were going to be confronted by these questions, you'd have a good response. None of them did. Jamie didn't. Ryan didn't. It was so boring.
Jamie's.
Yeah, that's odd.
Jamie's shit. Well, we'll get to that, I guess. Well, like, don't even go on the Men Tell All if you know this is going to happen. Just stay home. People will forget about you. You can still go on and have a life. And people will forget about you for so long. The Ryan guy kind of makes me believe he might have been an implant just to kind of start this stuff. He did Bachelor's Live. It seemed a little, I mean, no one, this people, I just realistically cannot see someone having notes on how to win the Bachelorette during this time. I just.
There were typos all over it too. And then like random capital letters. I was like, this seems like either a manifesto or something that was typed up last minute for airtime.
Possibly. Yeah.
Anyways, I think, let's move on. It was... Unless, anything else you guys want to hit on?
No, I don't know. I don't really have, like, it was boring. They confronted people about things, but they didn't really confront them. We didn't learn anything.
Jamie, that was just lame. Like, just own up to it, move on. Like, just, guys, if you're in the wrong, own up to it, move on. That guy just kind of creeps me out. I just cannot trust that guy at all.
So weird though with Jamie, how he goes from what he was one of the first one-on-ones, right?
Yeah.
From
he that got the first
great
impression.
Great date. No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought Nate got the first impression.
Not first impression, but he did get the first. He got a first group date, a one-on-one date.
He got the first group date.
One-on-one.
He got the first impression, Rose.
No.
Nate got it. You're right.
Yeah. What a kind of a fall from grace type thing. I was shocked by that.
I'll say this: there are very. I feel like I could almost hang out with anybody from Bachelor Nation. Almost, not quite. That's someone, I hate to even say that, but it's like, I would probably never even hang out with that guy. I just don't know if I could, like, he doesn't seem like a trustworthy person or whatnot, but.
Well, now I want to bring him on the pod and just sit back and watch you guys chat it out.
I would love that. I would love to chat it out.
Toxic.
I think people would like it. I would actually drill him with questions and I want answers. You know, I don't want no bullshit. So the thing about like, acknowledging that you do wrong and speaking about it. And I don't know, all that bullshit. Let's move on. Damn.
So the two big moments where we got to see Rick and Rodney, who were like the last people to go that had developed relationships with Michelle. They both had beautiful things to say about her. They both were nervous to see her. It was really sweet. Rodney and Rick both saw large increases in followership. Shout out to Bachelor Data. That's where I pulled that from.
Good for them.
So that was good. Nice to see. In between those two things, Caitlin goes, so Tayshia, let's talk. And confronts her about what's going on with Zach. What do you think about how that situation was approached? Do you think it should have been approached in the middle of the men tell all? Do you think it should have been discussed at all on national television, or should Tayshia have been allowed to approach it in her own right?
She's not a contestant anymore. She is now a host. And I feel like there should be some kind of wall of privacy that you just don't speak of. Like, there's no need to like talk about it on a live.
It seemed a little strange to me, no? I feel like, why are they...
Why?
Exactly. Like, she's not you know, a contestant, not the Bachelorette. I don't know. Like, why?
We've never asked the host about their love life before.
And I get it, sure, that this is the first time that a host has been someone that's gone through the whole experience in the show. I get that. But still, it seemed out of place. It's always a weird thing to be like, when you have a breakup occur, that everyone, like, it's weird because, like, for me, I guess I can only speak from my experience. I hated the thought of having to like address it, right? But you have to. You can't not address it because, unfortunately, just of the way your life is, where like people are going to be just really dang confused if they start seeing you out with other people and like nothing's been talked about and you're not together anymore. Like, there's going to be these questions. So you kind of think, okay, I'm just going to address it real quick, be done with it, and move on with my life. I'm not quite sure why she, who knows? I mean, you never know. It could have been the show thought it'd be a good idea, producers or whatnot, but, it just seemed a little odd.
Well, and it wasn't even... Okay, I think she actually handled it really well, how she did. She just discussed it. We're not together anymore. And that was pretty much it. I was kind of me being a viewer. I wanted the tea. I wanted to know what's going on.
If you're
going to
talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
And her position, I could totally agree with her that she did it correctly. But as a viewer, I wanted to get more out of it.
Do you think her walking off was staged?
Ooh, that's a hard one to say. I don't know.
There's a lot of discussion about it. It felt kind of forced. Like, I get she's trying to recompose herself and everything. I almost said and whatnot. Thanks, Peter. she's trying to recompose herself. That's hard. I can see her struggling with that. There's no way she didn't know Caitlin was going to ask her that question.
Oh, she for sure did.
There was no way she was blindsided by it.
Right.
Her walking off felt a little... too normal. Caitlin responded too on beat. She didn't hesitate at all. I think you would hesitate if your co-host gets up.
Yeah. I will say though, respect for Tayshia. handling the breakup or the relationship like the right way, like Dustin, you just said you wanted a little bit of tea, and so many people have like done that, right? Where they'll go spill the tea. They'll kiss and tell, right, if you will. And I got to respect Tayshia. You know, it's her relationship, or was her relationship with Zach, and no one else's. And yes, well, everyone, I guess, is kind of entitled, kind of, to knowing the outcome of the relationship. No one's entitled to any of the details or intimate details or private details. And so I respect the hell out of Tayshia for keeping
100%.
It that way.
It's no one else's business. No one needs to know what you guys were not getting along about. It's no one's business. So yeah, I agree.
Another incredibly genuine, amazing woman, Michelle, comes on stage at the end in her bright yellow dress, which may or may not be the same material as the dress that Caitlin is wearing. And if they were all wearing the same material, I think it could have looked really cute and complimentary. But again, apparently I think too much about the wardrobe. She comes out, she addresses all of the men. She thanks Rodney. She exchanged niceties with Rick and then puts Jamie in his place, which is good. He's like, if anyone was hurt by my comments, I'm sorry. And she responds, I'll close this conversation because I think it's clear that it's frustrating to sit here when you clearly haven't learned from this situation, which is just the best call out that we get in the entire segment.
Best Bachelor.
Go, Michelle.
Best Bachelorette we've had in a long time.
That's my Bachelorette.
She's fantastic. My final thoughts on all of it was Michelle is applauded by her vulnerability and sharing her story of being a Black woman and feeling unseen in a lot of ways with the world. And a lot of the guys commend her on that, as well as generally I've seen a lot of positive stuff from Bachelor Nation about that. Martin apologizes. Chris S. apologizes. She says she might have sent Olu home too early, but he thanks her for the journey. And they're all like, yay, happy family. We all survived this event. Now let's watch the bloopers. And the bloopers were lame. It was all about bugs.
It's always bugs. It's always bugs. Oh, we didn't really talk about Peter and Will. We didn't get into details with that. I just say that back and forth, it was funny.
It was good.
I thought it was so...
Keep your sister out of my DMs.
Yeah. I thought it was so cheesy that you're going to serve someone. I don't even know if you could legally... That had to be set up. Like, are they going to allow this guy to serve him while filming?
I have no idea. It was all so forced. And at the end, they all eat pizza and Peter and Will hug it out. So I was like, okay, yeah, they obviously were really mad at one another if by the end of this 45-minute window, they are hugging it out like bros.
So stupid. And
Pete's will do that sometimes.
He was upset that his reviews are his pizza shop. First of all, if you have a business, say you are trying to promote by going on the show, be a good guy on the show. Don't get into
drama.
Don't
be an asshole.
Why?
So true, man.
Why would you get into any? Why would you talk shit about anybody? Why would you get into any kind of drama? I wouldn't say one negative thing about anybody if I was going on there for the wrong reasons to promote my company. I would say that.
Well, grocery store Joe, like, he didn't get a bunch of reviews about his grocery stores because he was a bang up dude.
Well, he went out. He left the first night.
Honestly, this will probably just help this guy's pizza shop. Honestly, anyone, people talking about it, whether it's good or bad, is probably actually going to bring him. What's that restaurant? I think they have one in Minneapolis, Emma. It's the one where like the servers, like they just like shit on you and like they say really mean things. And it's the catch.
Dick's Last Resort.
Yes. Like, honestly, I could see that kind of thing almost happening like to his, because he gets so many bad reviews and it's talked about so poorly. People want to go check it out. Why is it, like
pizza
this?
Place becomes the next Dick's Last Resort where they make you wear the hats with offensive phrases on them.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, so. Maybe. I like that prediction. Hopefully that one comes through. We'll have to have him on the pod in a year to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hungry for some pizza now, guys.
Pizza.
So, final thing before we wrap. Michelle keeps hinting that there is a huge twist that happens. There are two episodes left, so I'm going to assume it happens in the next episode. That feels safe. Do you guys have any predictions?
It might be Joe. It might be Joe that gets it.
It's going to be Brandon.
It's not going to be Brandon.
It's not going to be
between
Brandon.
Joe
it's gonna
and
be
Nate.
Brandon. It's not
going to
be Brandon.
It's going to be Brandon. I am sticking with it, and I'm even more sold. I know there's spoilers out there saying that, you know, whatever. But I think it's... I hope she gets it with Brandon. I want her with Brandon.
Guess we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Let's also talk about real quick before we go how I thought it was kind of... I'm sorry. I'm the negative guy, guys. If you get positive guy over there, Peter, I'm the negative guy. So when they were trying to talk about, hey, I'm excited about Clayton's new episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, this seems so cheesy. Did you guys... When they were like, just, oh yeah, I think he's going to be great. I'm really excited. Let's see what happens. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness.
That's what you're supposed to say.
That's what you're supposed to say.
Can you imagine them sitting there and being like, this is going to suck. I hate this. And ABC's like,
yeah, what are they going to say?
Keep going. Keep saying that.
That would actually make probably people want to tune in even more. If I like the season, guys, I will do something outrageous by the end of the season. I think it's going to be
a crash
and burn.
I do think this is actually going to be a ratings bump. If I had to bet, I do. Nope. I think just from what I saw, the travel, like that just does so dang, like it makes it
travel
dramatic,
is better.
Right? It makes it so much better. It's unfortunate the seasons that missed out on it, but like the way, and then the guys, silence is deafening in that promo. And that tells you that there is potential for a very dramatic season. If you can pull someone in. I mean, I got pulled in. If you can pull the viewer in without any music, anything, I'm telling you, there's something there.
I disagree.
We'll see how messy it gets, but it's going to be good TV.
I disagree. We'll see. We'll make a bet.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
You want it? You guys think this is going to be a flop right now?
Let's not go by ratings. Let's go by what we think, our opinions, because honestly, it's hard to say the ratings because right now Michelle's show's going on with Christmas time. All these holiday seasons,
football season.
It's hard to go by. That's a tough one. But let's go by
the
what
The Bachelor usually performs better than The Bachelorette just because of seasonally when it's airing.
So let's go by his we could easily say Michelle is probably one of the greatest Bachelorettes. Let's see if we could say that about Clayton. Okay. Without all the extra things thrown into her travel, whatnot. Let's see if he handles himself well. Let's see if he's entertaining. Let's see if he's
I'm not saying, yeah, I'm not making any predictions like how well anyone's going to handle. I'm just saying this is going to be a good season in regards to entertainment. And I think so because of the drama that was already kind of teased and the travel. It kind of had the feel again of like the old seasons that we've seen again. And I think the biggest part is travel, like just the different scenes, like where the rose ceremony is, and like, you know, like this dramatic hall. It felt like, I feel like we've kind of had like a,
they're going back to the mansion.
Don't you know some tea about this show?
I did hear that he kisses every girl the first night. So I'm not by myself. I didn't even kiss every girl, but everyone thought I did. But I heard he kisses every girl. What have I heard?
Peter might have heard some tea, guys. He might have heard some tea.
I heard that he had two... Or he had a couple women leave the first night.
On their own?
On their own.
Ouch.
I just want to say one iota of personality. Like one singular, unique thing about the guy that makes me care about him. That's all I want. And I think ABC has done a really good job of selling people in the past. They're a really good job of like storytelling. Make me care. Please, dear God, make me care because I have to watch it anyway.
I agree. And again,
guys, I care. I don't know. That promo did it for me. I care. I'm invested.
I mean,
maybe it's for the wrong reasons, but I'm invested. Like, I'm sorry.
14WR for the wrong reasons.
At the end of the day, that's what the show cares about. They want ratings. So I care.
Well, I guess we'll have to see what's in store. But until then, we've got two more episodes of Michelle's season. And the holiday is coming up. So buckle up, boys.
Buckle up. I did see that. Do you see that they're pushing back the next episode or next season of The Bachelor?
Oh, are they? Are they not launching it on the 3rd anymore?
No. They were going to do back-to-back ones. And I think this is a good call. I remember saying this a couple months ago. Like, they were pushing out too many seasons. And I think they're going to delay the second back-to-back Bachelor season. So it's going to be Clayton's and then kind of, I think, who knows? But I just heard that they're going to push it back. So
all right.
I think that'll be good.
That's good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a ride of turbulence on the way. Make sure you keep your seatbelt buckled for...
Expect turbulence. Where have I heard that one before?
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong. Bachelors in the City is hosted by me, Peter Weber.
And me, Dustin Kendrick. This podcast is produced by Red Rock Music and powered by Acast.
Our producer is Red Yoakum and our associate producer is Emma Martins.
Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast. Send your voice memos to btc@redrockmusic.com. That's btc@redrockmusic.com for your chance to be featured on the show.
And of course, follow us on Instagram at Bachelors in the City Podcasts.
See you next week. Thanks for listening and sign up for our membership program to become an honorary third roommate.
Join now for $3 per month and enjoy the episodes ad-free.
Click the link in the episode description so you can move in.